Hey, this is the Bachelor Masters coming at you from Los Angeles. Listen to your heart. We're on day 6,000 of the quarantine and day 2 of Listen to Your Heart. Now, it looks like they're going to jump into everything is completely different next week. We're going to get song competitions. But so far with these two episodes, it's fun to watch a show where you have to be good at singing and loving. Kind of beats Bachelor in Paradise in that regard, EZR, because there's no end game with Bachelor in Paradise. We talked about that, where it kind of fizzles out at the end because there's no exit plan. There's no winner or loser. So it just sort of stops. But this, we're careening towards a singing winner. But as you've pointed out, what is it that they're winning? They're winning something, though. We just don't know what it is.
Right. And there's no, like, ultimatum made by the show
right.
that says...
You either sing or you're out.
Or, you know, fall in love at this point or you're out. Or propose at this point or you don't get this money or something. You know, it's really ridiculous that they're not giving us any goal.
Right. Now,
in reality show.
Now, Caitlin, you were saying before we hit the record button that there's lots of content. And I jokingly said, did we watch the same show? No, I was just kidding. There was a lot of content. And they focused a little less on Jamie than I thought they would, which I think is probably a good thing. Got to meet some other people.
Yeah, I feel like I am glad that there's less Jamie in this episode than last week, because I feel like, I mean, I think y'all covered this, but she's just a little boring, honestly. But there's still some good Jamie content in this episode.
Do we have a Jamie clip we can jump right into?
No, she didn't do anything.
We have like Jamie-related content, I guess.
Yeah. The most Jamie interesting adjacent thing she said is when she's 21 and she said, every boyfriend I've ever had cheated on me.
Oh,
like, your middle school boyfriend cheated on you? Like, who's going to cheat on you?
Isn't she the one that 21? Said she went on 100 dates this year?
That's not a boyfriend. That's like unrelated
to
what she said.
Yeah, that's different. Because
100 dates, but she is the one that said that, right?
Mean you dated, yes. I guess. You know, like, yeah, I did think, I wrote down one thing she said because I thought it was really funny, but I guess she didn't mean it like this. But when she's on that date with Trevor at the beginning of the episode, and they were like talking about something to sing, and she said, "You're more used to doing covers than I am," which sounded like a real burn to me.
Yeah. That's a flex in the. Well,
like,
world.
Yeah, but she does seem like she's really into him, so I guess maybe she didn't mean it to be like, I'm way better than you at this or something, you know?
No, well, she doesn't do covers, I feel, that because she doesn't know songs.
Who, Jamie?
Yeah, she did that last week.
She's only been on this planet for 21 years. She hasn't built up
I knew a lot of songs.
Repertoire.
I don't know.
She hasn't had long enough on Earth to learn covers, is your argument, Craig?
Hey, I'm neither here nor there. I'm neutral. Neutral good.
If this show's bringing up anything, it's bringing up the fact that the world would be so much better if men got talent crushes the way women do.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And honestly, men, if we take a sample size of men in the world and a sample size of women, men are never going to be as attractive as women are. Like, women try really hard. And they're also just naturally more attractive. I don't know what the deal is, but I think it has to do with them trying hard. And none of them, like, all the men are all about what people look like. And I don't see the music playing in at all. Like, no man has said, she's really talented. Wow. Have they?
I don't think I've heard anyone say anything like that. We have seen a few the other way, like in that first episode, Julia actually says that about Ryan, where she's where she's like, oh, hearing him like sing and play made me find him attractive, right. Essentially.
Yeah, that's
the whole premise of the mark on your bedpost, though? Singer, check. You know, rock climber, check. Reality star, check. I mean, if you're a guy that's okay.
So a guy tries to get every kind of person.
Well, you know the whole thing about the bedpost, right? Are we on the same page there?
I thought that was literally just counting that you've slept with a lot of people, not that it was like a specific.
Yeah, I mean, it could be.
I'm knocking off my singer line here versus like.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's different for everyone, but for me and the guys I hung with when I was younger, I think to the extent we were able to, because you can't demand sex. I mean, you have to play the game. You can't guarantee anything. But I think there was a certain amount of, oh yeah, I just slept with somebody who fits this profile.
You are reminding me of this dude I knew in undergrad who told one of my roommates, and I thought this was like one of the funniest things I'd ever heard, that like essentially what he said was he was kind of like a preppy guy,
right?
And she was much more like indie alternative hipstery, you know,
right?
And he was basically like, oh, I'm into you, I thought I'd try something like a little different this time.
See, there you go.
And I just thought it was like hilarious, and he was like, gonna go a little hipster maybe now.
Yeah.
You know, a difference.
Yeah. I mean, that movie Kids, that kind of ruined it, because that was super creepy and kind of all about like targeting women to sleep with.
Men to give too. Them AIDS?
Well, that one guy was all about the AIDS. They each had their own
That's like
list.
This is a different conversation.
Well,
but
it's just that makes
that
it
one guy was all about the AIDS is what you said.
I'm just trying to say that there is an element of creepiness to it.
Well,
but
yeah.
It's no different than a woman saying, oh, I'm going to sleep with you because you happen to be able to strum six strings in a row.
No, it is. The way men say it, or at least the feel like the way you're saying it even right now, is that it's like one removed from a fetish.
A little
right?
bit. Yeah,
which fetishizes
a,
people too.
A woman saying, oh, I really loved how you sang that, and that's making my vagina tingle, to use a phrase from last week.
Oh, I prefer fanny flutters.
Fanny flutters. That's no different. That's no different.
Well,
what
if it's involuntary? Like if you really like someone because you have a talent crush or I don't know, like we talked about last week, you know, you really like the way they think, or you think they're very smart. That's not something you can help, though. You should, my list of like my first crushes, like no one would, it's not a kid's crush. It's because he's good looking.
Well, let's move on, because I think this is getting us someplace, but not towards where the show's taking us.
Well, I'm going to be very critical this week, though, because I think me and Caitlin both have a lot to say about the dichotomy here about what
men versus women
are doing. And it's subtle. It's not like...
All right. So I should go into a defensive male posture is what you're saying.
Yeah, you should.
Okay. All right. Let me drink some more coffee here. Well, let me grab my mug.
Indefensible. No, I mean, it's not bad. It's not bad yet, but it's getting there. Right, Caitlin? Do you see? Oh!
I just went down the wrong hole, wrong shaft.
Oh my god, were you trying for a comedy coffee slurp and
I
just
was.
Like went too
like
hard
from, yeah, like from Spaceballs. I'm better now.
That was one of my first crushes, Rick Moranis, there you go.
Oh my god, for some reason I knew
he was great,
that Rick Moranis would be on your list. I mean, he was weirdly on mine, and I don't get it still now.
I don't get it either.
He was the man.
He's just so funny. He's so cute. But it wasn't from Spaceballs, it was from Ghostbusters, because in Spaceballs he's too powerful,
right?
Like I like and when he's dorky.
His wife passed away.
Oh,
that's
that
why
was
he,
sad.
That's why he stopped
that's
acting,
he stopped acting.
To raise his kids.
Isn't that like,
okay,
it's a stand-up
maybe I have
thing
a crush
to do.
On Rick Moranis again.
See?
Well, they're out of the house now, so I think that's why he's lurking back in various things now.
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead, Caitlin.
I say there's several, there was a lot of things in this episode where I was like, I don't understand what you're thinking at all, you know?
Or you mean like, Julia?
You mean producer intervention?
Some of those probably for sure, but yeah, first of all, I mean, I guess we could talk about every woman suddenly being in love with Brandon.
Right.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
That was one where I was just like, I don't get why this, like, just, like, a switch was flipped, and it was like, my God, Brandon is the one for that, all of us.
Yeah.
That was the consensus on Twitter, I think, too. Like, what's going on here?
That's my centerpiece here, so whenever you guys are ready, I have a lot.
I do have something I want to bring up in this. This is some PG-13 content here. You know, you know how, like, you hear about a guy who gets, like, laid a lot, and then you find out, oh, well, it's because he has a big penis, right?
Yeah.
I've always wondered.
In TV.
Okay. Well, maybe that answers my question. Maybe it doesn't actually happen in real life. Because I was wondering, how do women know he has a big penis? You can't just tell from outward appearances.
You've heard of big dick energy, right?
So they just act a certain way.
And that definitely has a big dick energy.
Whether or not they have a big penis is sort of irrelevant. It's just sort of how they act.
Yeah, I think that's confidence.
Okay.
Yeah, that it's more confidence and nothing to do with actual physical anatomy.
So maybe this guy has that swagger.
I have a whole thing prepared if you're ready, but maybe we should go in chronological order about
chronological. Okay.
Yeah, Jamie and Trevor trying to gentrify busking, which is not if you're gonna do it in front of cameras, don't ask for money, ask for like tokens or something.
I tweeted that. I did
like them counting the money afterwards, too, and being like, $80, not bad.
Yeah, and speaking of captions...
That'll buy you a t-shirt in Venice.
Yeah, well, the captions were really wrong this week. The caption said 20, and it was like 8. They said 80. But that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot. No one had to give anything.
they'll buy you like 2 beers at a bar right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess Trevor and Jamie went out on a date, and I just find them very bland together and separately, I guess.
She is very attracted, sexually attracted to Trevor.
Yeah, and it's another one where I don't entirely get it, because every time I look at him, I just think, well, that's a Jed right there. That's just a Jed, you know?
Yeah.
Everything about him, like his fashion sense, the way his face looks,
wears the Jed jacket. He has the Jed jacket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, the whole thing just, to me, I'm like, yeah, we're appreciate that on paper, he looks cute.
I mean, if the Jed season hadn't happened, you might not feel that way.
He's better looking than Jed. I mean, he's just blander looking. He's a little
blander looking. He's a little bit more like, I guess, stereotypically attractive looking than Jed is, if that makes sense. Like his face is a little bit more symmetrical or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's just something about that guy makes me be like, I've met people like you before, and you're just not, I would not be attracted to this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also kind of feel the same way about Jamie in that, like, mini fashion roundup. Her date outfit was so bad.
It was like what, you know, a mom dresses her second grader. It was matchy. Who matches?
The proportions looked wrong on her body somehow. The little boots were just, like, a weird choice. The whole thing was just, like...
When they're in Venice.
Yeah, when they're on that date in Venice.
The little boots.
Her tiny little white boots, yeah.
Kind of adorable in her that she dressed herself.
Oh, boy. I mean, the whole time that I was just, like, watching this, I was like, oh, you know that this guy is extra into her because she's 21 and she literally, like, does not know anything about dating or how people should act in any way.
But she went on 100 dates in a year. And she's had so many boyfriends. That how... Something doesn't seem... What's...
So many boyfriends that have cheated on her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she says this a little bit later in the episode after the Natasha entrance and Trevor and Natasha thing.
Well, she said it last week, too. Or she, I mean, she said she's... I think this is not the first time she's mentioned having lots of boyfriends and then also the 100 dates. She just contextualized it a little bit more.
Well, I was going to say she says this thing to Trevor when he's trying to be like, please don't dump me for the stuff that Natasha has said about me.
So about Trevor.
And she said she has no idea what a healthy relationship would look like because she's never had it before. And that's my immediate hilarious. Reaction was like, well, you're not going to have one now, girl.
Yeah. Like, you went to the right place. Bachelor colon, listen to your heart.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Jamie, no.
All right. Well, okay, so about Trevor, he did not lie in the hot tub.
He said,
I guess by
his
the
way.
Technical definition of lying,
so he's
going to
say he's in a hot tub with a woman in a bikini on Venice Beach. That's going to be the time that somebody's going to say, oh, yeah, I emotionally cheated on my girlfriend from a year and a half ago.
Right, but the fact that he spun it his way.
He didn't. He just said he had a normal conversation with a first date that he did nothing wrong. We cannot fault him for anything he did.
I think we can fault him.
No. Yeah.
He put it all on her, the ex, about
somebody I dated a year and a half ago on a first date in real life. If I'm on a first date in real life, And the date asks me, explain your date or your girlfriend from a year and a half ago. That's a huge red flag, unless we're just like joking around. So that would never happen in real life. Second, he didn't lie. And third, well, I don't have a third. So there, one and two.
Oh my God. Craig, are you a Jed? Is that what's happening here?
Come on, this is ridiculous. So you go on first dates and corner guys about their girlfriends from a year and a half ago?
Well, she didn't do that exactly on the hot tub situation, right? Like, she specifically brought up that she had been cheated on in, like, everything that she's been in. And then did that. And it was a little weird that she was like, let me turn around and look you directly in the eye to know if you are lying about this. But in all fairness, I mean, maybe she had a little instinct that this is the type of guy who would probably lie to you about this.
Well, that's stereotyping.
It turned out to be true.
Not really.
Yes,
all
really.
I think we should play that clip
because I want you to hear Trevor's exact explanation of what happened in that relationship.
Right. Even when confronted with the truth, he still he never was going to tell her ever.
Okay. I was going to say all relationships, but that's wrong. A lot of relationships end because another opportunity comes up, right? So. Especially for guys who kind of drag out breakups.
That's called cheating.
Well, he said, I emotionally cheated. There you go. And I broke up with her.
I mean, he said it when he was basically completely confronted by somebody who knew he had done it for sure.
Good. Right.
You know?
Great. So he did everything right.
I mean, no.
And that's why he stayed with him. So
completely... He completely basically admitted that he wouldn't have told Jamie. He was like, oh, I would have told her. And they're like, you're lying right now.
I'm not just going to out of the... I'm just not going to spring forth with information about somebody I dated a year and a half ago. Come on. For people that age, a year and a half is a long time. People mature.
He's 29, I think.
Exactly my point.
I'm just gonna put that there. He's not 21.
Well, he was 27 when he emotionally cheated then. Think about where you were when you were 27.
It's still emotional cheating.
All right, play the clip.
Okay.
Yeah, we need to hear Trevor's words.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was like, this dude broke up with my girlfriend like a year ago, and is all of a sudden a changed man. Whatever, a year and a half ago.
But I just want to remind you though that all you know is what she has told you about our relationship.
All I know is that she's been completely betrayed.
I never physically cheated on her. Just so you know, we were together for 2.5 years, right? I was unhappy. I should have left sooner, right? I ended up like emotionally cheating on her.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is almost worse, I feel. Does that sweet girl Jamie know about this situation?
I didn't go into the details of our relationship.
Do you think if you told Jamie today on your date, hey, I cheated and lied to my girlfriend and emotionally cheated on her during our relationship after
during
all
our
the things
first we've been date.
Together, she'd be down to be like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Feels like you've changed. Let's go on another date.
Well, because that's what you're presenting in a way that's not.
That's what happened. What do you mean I'm presenting it? No, this is a fact.
Okay, I'm telling you that.
Is it not what happened?
It was what happened.
The lying and the cheating. Did that happen?
No.
So now you're denying that it happened.
I'm not denying that it happened.
First you said I emotionally cheated, now you're saying it didn't happen.
Okay. We can get into we don't have to get into the minute details.
It's a yes or no, it's not a detail.
I told you that yes, there was some emotional cheating.
Was there lying?
Yeah, yes, there was.
What relation doesn't end that way?
You're doing the same thing he's doing.
You literally sounded just like, oh God.
Yes.
Which is what Trevor was doing. Is she was like, first he said ever lie to his ex.
Caitlin.
Then he said he did.
Okay, hold on. Go, imagine back to when you were mid-20s, okay? Pick a boyfriend that you had for a couple years in your 20s. Okay, do you have that in your head?
Yes.
Okay, now I want you to be perfectly honest here. When you guys were on the outs, did you lie to him?
Like about anything ever?
Yes. It's a yes or no question. Did you not?
I think I probably did. Yeah.
Did you emotionally cheat?
No, I did not.
Okay. All right. Easier. Same questions.
23 and 27 is a huge leap.
Well, you're not
at 23, yeah. At 27, no. Because 27, I was old enough to be like, I'm a big girl. I need to stop, let that person go, move on.
Yeah, all right.
To me, it's not even that that's what happened. It's that his immediate reaction
is to lie, right?
Yeah, exactly. That, like, literally, first he says he doesn't know Natasha at all, like who she is or which girlfriend she'd be friends with or whatever. Well, but then the second she says, like, it's Sierra, he's like, well, so you know I never physically cheated on her. And it was like, the fact that that's the first thing he says is like, oh, so you know you did something badly enough to your ex that she would have been telling her friends something like this, right? Like, most people, if you came up to them and said, like, I'm friends with this ex, if that's the first thing that person says to you, that's kind of worrying, right?
Right. Okay.
Well, there's just a lot. I mean, the fact he's trying to weasel his way out of something.
My God.
Yes.
He's been on one date with this person. Like,
No. Forget that. Let's just say he wasn't on any dates. Let's say he wasn't even attached. If Natasha had come on, she probably would have done the same thing.
I'd be like, who?
He'd still be
you?
Weaseling.
I'll be like, oh, you don't sin. Who are you to cast stones? You know? I'd be like, I've never even met you before. Who the hell are you? That's what I would say. I mean, I probably wouldn't say it on national TV that way, but if we were not on national TV, I'd be like, who the hell are you? Get out of my face about this. If she has something, if my ex-girlfriend has something she wants to get off her chest, you can get a hold of me. You know I'm right.
No.
No, we're just silent because
we're in shock.
Being squirrely as well.
Yeah.
Shock.
It's just it's like obviously wrong and you're still defending it.
And there's not cheaters. I don't consider myself a cheater. And if you're not a cheater, you don't cheat, and maybe you cross the line or two here and there. That doesn't make you a bad person.
That's not what we're saying. We're saying he's trying to weasel out of it.
Like, very personally.
For some reason. Interesting.
Interestingly.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, I think the question of whether or not Trevor is a cheater or not wasn't even the original thing.
Right.
It was more like, the way he reacted to having this conversation at all was that he was, like, looking for a loophole that made him not look bad, basically.
Right. Right.
Okay.
He was like searching for it, trying to find it. Ooh, not that one. I guess I'll try another one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
It's a very difficult, like, I mean, yeah, we've gone over it, but it's so, I mean, it proves to, I think, me and Caitlin and a lot of women out there what kind of man Trevor is. It's not that he cheated.
Right. Yeah, it's that he's trying to get out of, like, any sort of semblance of acknowledging
I just don't see it. I don't see how saying, yeah, I lied and emotionally cheated, but I didn't physically cheat, and that was a year and a half ago. I don't see how that's trying to get out of it at all.
What do you think about the fact that Natasha said, that's almost worse?
I don't get, I'm not on, I don't think Natasha has any foot to stand on this. Who the hell, like I said, who the hell is she?
Okay, it doesn't matter who, let's just say it came down from an anonymous letter. It doesn't matter. But our point is, she said herself, and I think
I would say, you know, I would say, yeah, you know, you're probably right. Emotionally cheating, it probably could be considered worse than physically cheating. I think they're both bad. That's probably, that would be my response.
Why is it worse?
Because I should have broken up with her earlier, which is exactly what he said.
But why do you think emotionally cheating
because
is worse?
Because that's what people say. Natasha, I don't think, is a deep enough person to say anything that isn't just part of what people say. But also,
well, I'm asking you. Well, you,
yeah, no one likes to be emotionally cheated on, because when you're in a relationship with somebody, you're supposed to be confide in them and be best friends with each other and all that. And if you betray that trust, that's a bad thing.
So you're saying that he is more conniving than
cheating. He screwed up with the end of a 2.5 year relationship and owned up to it.
I think the fact that he emotionally cheated makes him more culpable, because he is slimier.
You emotionally cheated. You said so when you were 23.
Yeah.
There you go. So you're slimy.
We've all have. But I'm not trying to get out of it. I'm admitting it.
He's not trying to get out of it.
He's not? What did we just hear?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Craig, in what way is he not trying to, like, literally everything he said was, all right, so they first start, and she says, a year ago you did this. And he's like, a year and a half, but the details don't matter. But those 6 months definitely do matter.
Well, he was cornered, and anyone that's cornered is going to react defensively and come across that way. She was like, the very first thing I'm going to do on this show is go talk to you. And he's like, oh, do you mind if I, like, can you give me a minute? She didn't even allow him to have a minute. She's just like, I'm talking with you right now. Okay.
This isn't about Natasha.
No. Oh, yeah, it's about his sort of reaction to even having this conversation, the way in which he didn't even... I mean, I feel like even the conversation with Jamie that Trevor has after this is very, like, that he's still trying to be like, I know that you're going to hear this thing that I wouldn't have told you otherwise, so I'm just going to go ahead and say I did some emotional cheating, which for some reason I didn't bring up earlier when you directly asked me about it, but I am saying it now. You know that guy would have never told her this.
Well, if were
his ex's friend wasn't on the show.
If I were first date and the first date asked me right to my face, staring at me, have I ever emotionally cheated? I'd be like, I forgot I have a Skype call I got to take. Here's money for the check.
Yeah, but this isn't a normal situation.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's why I think all parties are acting abnormally here. But I think you wouldn't be cornered like that in real life either. I mean, with cameras on you. So I don't fault him for how he acted when someone was right in his face about all this stuff that he wasn't anticipating having to talk about.
It's symbolic of who he is. He can't even admit it when someone knows all the details.
Okay. Let he who is out sin cast the first stone. That'll be my closing argument.
The argument is that I outed myself, and I think we all have, right? We've outed ourselves. That defines where your values lay when you admit things to other people.
All
right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just think this is a situation in which this guy is never going to be a good boyfriend for Jamie, obviously, you know.
And she's not going to be a good girlfriend for him. I mean, this is just a TV hookup. And
she's very into him.
She likes him more than he likes her.
Yeah.
Just leave it there.
Okay, now we can talk about Natasha, which is a whole different situation.
Oh, God. Okay.
Because, yeah, I mean, well, okay, not to continue this, but there have been situations on The Bachelor where someone has sent in a letter. Someone has sent in, like, a communication, like, through pigeon, carrier pigeon or whatever, that says, this person is bad, you know? Do not let them continue on the show or whatever. And it even, you know, they blurred out that girl's face last season with Peter that was like, don't date Victoria Fuller. Eep.
Right.
So it doesn't matter where the information comes from. If it's truthful, that's all that matters. Okay. Right. Natasha. Who says Chilean? I have always said Chilean. My God. Like, from the country of Chile.
I have so many thoughts about everything Chilax. That she says. But, yeah, that was interesting to me for a lot of reasons. And, Easier, did you catch that when she said that in that circle of people that she was like, that she's Chilean and French, that I think it was Danny said, Hispanic people, yeah!
Yeah, because he has a Hispanic last name.
Which just made me laugh really hard because it was such a funny, like, interaction to have put in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Latin America is a huge piece of land. I don't know where Danny Padilla is from. I didn't even know his last name until I looked him up. Because the way he said it, I'm like, this guy is
like, yeah, Hispanic. You know, or he Latin. Has to be, or it would be extra weird that he had suddenly shouted Hispanic people. Yeah.
That's weird. And then her genre is, so someone like her coming in makes me think that this might be like, they might not have had enough people who are musicians. Maybe they're going towards the, you know, performers. And that's not a good group of people for this show. It should be mostly musicians. Right? Right?
Well, when you say performer, what exactly do you mean?
I guess my first thought is just Britney Spears. Someone who sings but doesn't write or produce or do anything. They're just the face.
Okay. That makes more sense to me. Well, so I think I mentioned to y'all via text earlier that I did some digging onto Natasha's background. Which was entirely prompted by her introduction. Easier, could you play her introduction quickly?
Yeah.
My name is Natasha. I am 33 years old. I'm an East Coast New Yorker through and through. Like, I say what's on my mind. I say how I feel. I don't beat around the bush. I'm looking for my husband, looking for my baby daddy.
Ah.
That's the goal. I'm not going to, like, mess around and have fun. Like, I want a grown-ass man. I'm not a diva, but I'm a diva.
Oh, my God.
I'm not a diva, but I'm a diva.
That was the Britney Spears line. I mean, I have nothing against Britney Spears, honestly, especially not now. But
that would have been a good place for
especially not now.
Yeah. Anyway, politics aside, that's just my, like, I'm a little too old, too young for Madonna to have to be my, like, go-to big pop icon. And Lady Gaga's not quite there yet. So, like, Britney Spears is, like, what I think of when I saw her. I'm like, oh, she's a performer.
Right. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
So, there was one particular phrase in all of that that made me be like, I'm extremely curious about where you came from and who you are. And that was the phrase, I'm an East Coast New Yorker.
Right.
Because
I'm an
that
East Coast,
like,
New Yorker.
Rang bells in my head where I'm like, literally never heard a human say this phrase in my life.
Right.
And I'm an East Coast New Yorker myself.
Right. Well, speaking of Miss Teen, which she was.
Right, Miss Teen New York.
There's that famous clip of the young woman from South Carolina giving her answer to the question about like, world peace, how would you, yeah, world peace or something. She's like, she said all these great things. Like, she's like, as a U.S. American.
Yeah.
And then she said, the Iraq.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, such as because, one. Yeah.
Yeah, so such as, therefore.
I heard this phrasing and I was like, are you actually from New York? Because I've literally never heard a New Yorker refer to themselves that way. And I she is probably from New York.
I think she's just saying, I'm an East Coaster / I'm a New Yorker. Like, she just kind of mushed her words.
Yeah, I think that it must be something along those lines because, yeah, when I started looking at who she was, it's like, she's born in Manhattan. She went through high school in Manhattan. She went to, like, the most famous performing arts high school in Manhattan, basically.
Dang.
Yes.
Like, but private school?
No, it's public school.
Oh.
But I was, so first I was intrigued because I was like, are you really from New York? Because that's, like, weird, a weird way to put it. And then I thought, well, maybe she comes from a household where English is not her first language.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also not entirely clear. Her Wikipedia page says, born and raised in New York City to a mother of Chilean descent and a father of French descent. Which,
descent, right.
Which, yeah, the descent thing, generation. Yeah, sounds like right. that her parents probably did speak fluent English at home.
Except that she sings in Spanish, or she said she does. Who knows?
So
that doesn't mean much, though.
Yeah, I'm like, I really don't know if it is, like, a thing where English was not the first language she learned, and maybe that's why the phrasing is weird, or just some other thing. But as I went down this path, I was like, well, she won Miss Teen New York. This is her third music reality TV show that she's
wow.
on.
What else? Like, VH1 ones?
So she was on CW's Pussycat Dolls Present The Search for the Next Doll.
Yeah. That was a good show, the one episode I saw.
And she was on The Voice Holland version.
Oh my.
Okay.
Oh my. On,
yes.
So what, they just apply to different reality shows in different countries now?
No, yeah. I think what happened here, or at least the way it's described in her, like, I read some article about the Voice Holland thing. She started dating a Dutch guy and she moved to Holland and then she went on The Voice there. Okay. I'm assuming is no longer dating this Dutch guy because she's on a TV show where you're supposed to be single.
Yeah. Okay.
But I thought that was an interesting thing to point out, that this is not the first time she's been on a show.
Yeah,
that's a reality singing-related thing.
That's important to know. It says something.
Yeah, if you have a hook in another country, you're an American and you go on a show from their country, you're like gonna pass to the, you know, TV part of it.
Wait, huh?
She also had tried to get
they value
Eurovision?
Americans on the show.
Oh, okay.
Eurovision, what?
You know, Eurovision Song Contest.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
She tried out to be the Dutch entry for this, but she didn't get chosen as it. She was on some, it's like on TV. I think you could watch it on YouTube, but it says the Eurovision Song Contest Preliminary Dance Melody Grand Prix 2014.
Interesting.
Anyways, all right. What I'm trying to say is that, yeah, veteran. If you're an American, I have lots of friends who have gone overseas and to make money have gone on TV. I had a friend who did a version of Amazing Race called Shanghai Rush. Lots of friends who have done it because they just want an American on. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, why you're there. It's a big deal. Unlike in America, that's not going to happen. Anyway. Here's what stood out to me about Natasha.
wait, hold on. There's only one thing that stood out about Natasha?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one thing, but it's also symbolic of who she is. Okay, so there was, I wonder, Craig, I don't think you lived here yet, but there's a legendary, I don't want to say he's legendary, but he's pretty good. And I think a lot of people would remember him, people who are like native Angelenos. There used to be this great talk show host named Tom Likas. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I need some more information.
Okay. He was on a talk radio channel that was FM. And basically he had his Lycus 101, which is basically how to get a girl into bed and not commit to her. And okay. date a lot of girls. And on the surface, right, it's a very chauvinist show and it's horrible and women hate him. But you dig a little bit and you can see, and after listening to him for a long time, I started to see him as kind of a feminist icon, weirdly enough. So okay. he was a very, very interesting man in other things. Like, he's also a wine connoisseur. He was from New York and he moved here. And I loved his perspective on things, because whenever someone would call in and either ask him for advice or call in to berate him, they would always, if they're from New York, they would say, of course, hey, Tom, you know, Gary here, born and raised in New York. And then he'd say, 3 seconds or 5 seconds. And that's how long the person took to tell them that they're from New York. Right. And he would go on this huge rant about how horrible, like how annoying New Yorkers are and how the world doesn't care that they're from New York. And like, why did this become ingrained in a lot of New Yorkers? And actually, weirdly enough, the economist David Harvey, if you guys know who that is, uh-huh. and a lot of people do, right? He's really famous. He's a very famous economist.
I met
said
him.
That the Oh, you did. I love him. Well, I want to hear that story someday. I love David Harvey. Said that the whole if you listen to one of his old lectures, one of the reasons that the I Love New York, like even that red heart on the white background with the typing I Love NY, was actually this concerted effort by people in the 70s to kind of sell New York. Mm-hmm. And it became this, at this point, what we know is like a gentrifying rallying call. So it's all marketing and it's all this huge juggernaut that has nothing to do with pride. It has to do with marketing. Mm-hmm. So like, I feel like when he said that, I'm like, that's where it comes from. But I don't know. I just thought that was, whenever people say that, I feel like there's a level of brainwashing going on with the whole New York thing. But Caitlin, you tell us. I just think it's a very interesting,
oh boy.
When people say that, I feel that way. I'm like, oh, like I connect these dots.
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense, especially knowing that like the I Heart New York campaign came out in the 70s, which is like New York City in the 70s is like legendarily crime rates, drugs, things like that. But I feel like growing up in the suburbs of New York City with parents who worked in the city and grew up in the city and all of that and have extremely noticeable New York accents, that one thing that I guess is probably different than growing up in other parts of the country is that people are very correct when they say New Yorkers are snobs about their city being the best city. It's like the only place to live, et cetera, et cetera. That is so ingrained in you that like when I was like a teenager, the idea of living anywhere else other than New York would have literally never crossed my mind. What other place is there? It's New York, you know? So like even when I left New York after undergrad and I moved to DC for the first time, it was like, ugh, leaving New York to go somewhere else. Like, who does that? Why would you ever do that? You know? And it took living outside of sort of that New York-y bubble to really understand that, like, there are lots of other good places to live. And there are cool places outside of New York. And this isn't just, like, the only city that exists in the world, you know? Uh-huh. So I feel like it is very, very, very culturally ingrained in you when you grow up either in the city or the immediate surrounding suburbs that like, you know, this is the center of everything on earth.
Right.
Yeah. Except for sometimes they come here and then still say it. And I'm like, why?
It's a shorthand for being like, I may live here now, but just so you know, I'm from a cooler place.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
It's also like, I'm going to maybe say something offensive to you, West Coast, you know, liberals or something.
Well, they're liberals too.
Well, you know, people from
well,
New
they're
Jersey
neoliberals
saying, like,
too.
I'm going to offend you. Like they think we're snowflakes and can't handle offensive jokes.
Yeah, I think there is something to the like. So I feel like I probably talked about this on here before, but like that I lived in a small town in the American South for several years, and it was a big culture shock in some ways. And now I'm like, I love the state of North Carolina so deeply. But there was sort of a weirdness in terms of cursing being okay. Like where I grew up, everyone curses and it does not seem at all unusual or offensive. And in North Carolina, it is certainly not like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Where it'd be like, whoa, you're just saying the word fuck all the time. And it'd be right. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Like it sounds normal when you're from this other kind of environment. So I feel like there's a certain extent to which people from the New York area, I guess, are ingrained to be being told elsewhere that like you're too loud, you're too brash, you curse right. too much, like you're rude.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's I'm just remembering, I think I was in the somewhere around there, and you couldn't order a chicken breast. I was like, what were you supposed to call it? Like they were offended with the word breast.
Right. Yeah. Well,
what are you supposed to call it? Chicken piece that's the biggest? I was really confused. I was like, what are you supposed to say? That's yeah. the correct
piece that's the biggest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Southern charm is a kind of an interesting phenomenon. Okay, let's move on.
Okay. Well, but what to tag on what Caitlin's saying, Natasha actually had that phrase afterwards. She said, which means that I'm going to tell you how it is and like straight up or whatever she says. And it's like, okay, Natasha, yeah. relax.
Yeah, that's also like the kind of stereotype that is funny to me that like, and again, it's extra funny to me that she's literally like a native New Yorker who goes in being like, excuse me, I am going to be very upfront with you because I am from New York, a place where we do that.
You know? Yeah. And the rudest thing she says is that. Like, it's not like she really, like, you know, she's not in his face, like, over him, towering over him, telling him all this stuff. She's just kind of, like, stating the facts.
Really aggressive about it in terms of, like, she's aggressive about calling him on certain things, but she's not like shouting. She's not like, you know what I mean? She's not being as rude as you could be about it.
Right, right. So that's why I'm like, okay, whatever. When people say that, I'm like, I'll talk. No substance.
Damn.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, everything she kind of just, I had that 8 seconds thought. I'm like, how long did it take her to say that? Oh my God. First one to third. And then she dresses like she's from the early 2000s. Like she had studs on the bottom of her pants.
It's a weird look. Oh, I don't really.
Yeah.
I'm also very much thinking that the Natasha and Ryan pairing is like a producer thing. I've got to guess. Mm-hmm.
That was weird.
Those people make no sense with each other. Like in any way.
Right.
That She's was like, I like nerdy.
And,
make out.
Yeah. And it was like, no, you don't. Natasha does not like nerdy guys.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then Cheyenne, you know, was forced to probably pick Matt just to make the drama go longer. And then she didn't make a move on him all week. That's how you know it was a producer plan. Because she's like, I'm not interested in anybody. Oh, well, here, pick Matt. Same kind of deal.
Yeah. I'm guessing that what happened with the Ryan and Natasha thing is that they were probably both prompted by people to be like, hey, you know, this could be a good pairing. Maybe consider that. Especially because Ryan isn't, like, he's not having a romantic thing with anybody right now. Okay. So he's kind of open. I guess it would be interesting to see next week when they do performances, like, maybe they actually sing well together. That would be interesting to know.
We'll see.
Okay, what's next on the list here?
Chris and Bree. We finally get to see what that's all about. Right. And why does this woman bother wearing lipstick? I am so offended.
Wait, you're offended by what? Her lipstick?
That she bothers to put it on.
Because she makes out and it goes off?
Craig. Look at her face.
Craig, she has extremely thin lips.
And that offends you that she puts lipstick on?
Yeah.
Well, it does feel like she doesn't need to, is the thing, right? Because her lips are very tiny. So it wouldn't really make much of a difference if she's wearing it or not.
Oh. Okay. I don't get that. So let's just find another topic.
What? No, I mean, we still have Bree and Chris things to talk about.
Right. Like, but you are so like critical of people.
Yeah, I am critical of people. I just don't. There's no register in my brain around thin lips and lipstick.
It's really weird. Sorry. It's like, I mean, she put like glittery, glossy, colored lipstick on that totally makes me look at her gums and her face, bottom half. It's like, off.
All right.
Okay.
So I have a question.
You win that one.
For y'all as Los Angeles people.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Is that Guitar Center the most iconic Guitar Center?
Right. So, do we know which one they went to?
Stories about that one. Yeah, I know which one it is.
I mean, I was more interested in the Jazz Club, which is just right up on the It's right next to the Vermont and Hollywood subway station there by Kaiser.
Yeah, I've been to that one too. Well, the Guitar Center is definitely. I mean, I've been there a few times, and it's just a normal Guitar Center. I didn't know it was iconic because I just go in and get something and come out.
It's just on Sunset or something?
It's on Sunset. Mm-hmm. It's in Hollywood. It's not really a big deal. They do have performances, though, that are, you know, big-time performances for a Guitar Center. But I guess my only funny story I have from there is that there's an indoor and an outdoor, like a door you walk in through and a door you walk out from.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because they don't want you stealing guitars.
Right. And I think he messed up on it, too. Like, he didn't do it right. You know, he tried to open the other door. But one time, I was going out the outdoor, and Billy Idol was coming in the outdoor, and he got really mad that he couldn't open the damn door.
Wow, Billy Idol.
Iconic Guitar Center.
Yeah. And he had, like, a punk jacket on because he was going to perform or something, and he had the little gloves. And he did the whole, like, he pushed it, and it didn't open. And so he, like, put his hands up, like, pissed. And I just laughed because it's like this door.
It's so good. I want to talk about Bree and Chris's song that they sing together in the Guitar Center.
Yeah.
Says something about positive thing that a white practicing Mormon can date a black man on national TV on the ABC network. But also, wow, she goes fast. I mean, they've known each other for a few minutes here, and they're already in love.
I was also thinking about that, but yeah, they were sort of almost immediately in love, and that felt very odd to me.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about that. Go ahead, Caitlin, what are you going to say?
Is this a race thing? You all agree with that?
I feel like it's not necessarily uncommon in super Christian communities to have interracial relationships.
I don't either.
As long as you're both Christians.
Oh, that's interesting. All right.
And in Mormon communities too, they're very accepting now. There are some exceptions, but every Mormon enclave I've ever been to has been very accepting of interracial relationships. Especially because there's missionaries to other countries and sometimes they'll bring people back.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I feel like it is something where you might think it would be a gigantic deal, but my sense is it's not at all for her or him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good to know.
Well, they both, to me, despite everything else, they seem a little desperate for each other because they've both been recently hurt. Right. So, you know, they they will probably continue on at the show, but I think they're definitely smitten for each other right now. But as they get thrown together, I think if they're not bonded by whatever their common trauma is, I know she was dumped from being engaged.
Don't buy the wedding dress.
Right. That's rough. And his dad just died? Is that what he said?
I miss that.
No one has made me feel special in a long time. Like, he sounds like he's been recently hurt. So I think that kind of putting them together is not viable in the long term. Although they might really like
each other. I mean, it could be. But it just seems rejection-based.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, well, you know, people come together for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah. But the whole, I mean, the whole fact that, like, I don't dispute that they like each other or would like each other despite the trauma. Right. I think they might last till at least the end of the show, definitely.
Okay.
But the whole, like, us looking at them or The Bachelor presenting them to us as this interracial couple we're not supposed to notice, which is honestly fine, but, like, admiring it or something is performative, I feel, on the part of us at home and on the part of The Bachelor. Like, this doesn't feel... Like, there's a clip that I saw on accident that was, like, somebody crying over there. You guys are just such a beautiful couple. I'm like, this is... That's fetishizing the fact that they're an interracial couple. Like, that's not okay. So I feel like it could go too far if we try to make it go too far.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I feel like I do see them together, in terms of, like, it does seem like they like each other. It doesn't seem like, you know, some of these couples you're just like, what are these people even doing together? You know, like, they clearly are not into each other. And it's like, no, they do seem into each other. I was cringing extremely hard at the Guitar Center song, where they started singing out a reenactment of the rose ceremony from last episode. And I was like, oh boy, no.
And then offered you my rose.
Yes, and she says at one point, every petal screaming your name, Christopher. And I'm just like, oh no, this is a terrible song.
Yeah.
Hey, but, you know, improvising is not easy. So, you know, I got nothing to say other than that. I used to go to a Guitar Center a lot when I was a kid. One in, I guess it would be San Jose on Stevens Creek Boulevard. I used to ride my bike down there. Not because I could play guitar or anything. It's just super fun place to... It's just a super fun place to hang out in the afternoon if you got nothing else to do. Because they don't mind you fiddling with all the stuff.
Right.
Like, you could be... I was like, you know, I was like a 15-year-old kid.
It's like Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, it's like Barnes & Noble. I could go... They don't mind you picking up a guitar or, like, sitting down at a drum set or something like that. It's super cool. But I was going to tweet this, but I didn't know if anyone would get this. Maybe you do, Easy Art. There used to be television commercials for Guitar Center nonstop. And they always have a sale, right? Every, like, mattresses, any day of the year, there's a sale. They'd be like, now's our third weekend of the year sale. And then it would be like, now it's the fourth week day of the year sale. Don't miss out.
I feel like that's most businesses.
But I haven't seen a guitar. Well, it was just, they kind of, or at least then, they kind of ran it like a, kind of like a used car lot, you know.
Yeah,
like, but now I haven't seen a Guitar Center ad in years.
What's the there's another music store that's like Guitar Center, but it's called something else. I'm gonna look it up. But anyway, there's one right next to there, right next to that Guitar Center, that's also a music store. So that's what I would be pointing out. I'm like, why aren't we going into the, hold on.
Is it like Sam Ash, maybe?
Sam Ash store. That's what it is. It's a Sam Ash. It's right next to there, and it's bigger, and it's nicer, and it has people's footprints in front that, like, Jimi Hendrix and stuff.
That's
so cool. So that one's better than the damn Guitar Center. That Guitar Center is tiny.
For yeah, but Guitar Center paid The Bachelor for them to go there.
I know, but I think it'd be funny if I was in the limo. I'd be like, "There's a Sam Ash. Why are we stopping?
Maybe
we
they going? Did. They didn't have to put that on the air." you're yelling at them for not saying things that they very well have could have said.
I don't think they care. They're doing, but this is my way to that I would interrupt the show all the time. I'd be like,
I don't know, as a non-native Angeleno, to use your phrase, EZR, Hollywood to people not, I've said this before on the podcast, Hollywood to people not from LA is a magical place. You don't realize that it's kind of a dumpy, congested.
I love Hollywood in a way.
Yeah, but we don't know it's not like that when we grow up. We think it's just this mystical where everything is paved with gold and everything has a story, which everything kind of does have a story, but it's just different. it's different once you get to know what Hollywood really is, right? But, you know, for them, she's from Utah and he's from, I could pull it up, but they're not from LA. It's, you know, they're probably riding around everything.
Florida.
Florida. Everything's cool, you know, like Sam Ash Guitar Center, you know, some other place. I mean, they could be like completely in awe of everything. We don't know.
I'm trying to sabotage the show. Okay. That's what I would be trying to do. I'm not trying to not be impressed. I'm trying to be like, hey, that other place is cool.
Wow, you sounded like Crystal there.
Who's Crystal? Hey. Oh, the way you make fun of Crystal? Poor Crystal. Recently divorced.
Yeah, what's up with that? Her and Duck are no longer together.
Duck?
Yeah, we refused. This was before you were on the pod, Caitlin. We refused to call him Goose for whatever reason. So we called him Duck, me and co-host Chris.
Since they were both before my Bachelor watching time, and then I saw them on Paradise because, you know, their wedding. Right. I was confused about how he even began to be called Goose, like what that was about.
He self-declared it. I don't think there's any more to the story than that.
they were okay. Like, they were kind of, just to tell you, because I want you to know, there was, they were kind of saying, I'm the this and you're the that, and this is why we work so well as a team. We're hunters or we're this. And so it was kind of like a little joke that wasn't funny to begin with and went too far with Jordan Kimball. That's where it kind of came from. It wasn't okay. The only reason I remember that is because I made Super Nintendo or a Nintendo NES joke about it. Like, you know, Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
Or meme.
Have either of you played Untitled Goose Game?
No.
Is that the one where you're so a goose good. And you just run around?
Yeah, you're a goose, and your whole job is you just annoy people in this small, like, pastoral town.
I haven't played it myself.
It's very fun, but it is the kind of thing where it's just, like, bringing out your worst side naturally, because you play the goose, and all you can do is, like, you can walk, you can run in different directions, you can honk, and you can flap your wings. And so there's, like, they'll give you a list of tasks to be, like, steal the keys from this gardener, like, take the hat off his head, make him get wet in the lake, you know? And you're just, like, doing all these tasks, like, there's one where you have to get glasses off of this young, nerdy boy, and I'm just doing it, being like, yeah, get those fucking glasses off, you big nerd, get down in that puddle, I hate you, you know? It's just like pure you being a terrible person, basically. But you're a goose, so it's fine.
I had an idea to make an app. Maybe I'm giving away an idea to our listeners. I don't know, but it would be called the Chick Magnet, right? And so you would download it, thinking it would, like, I don't know, point you towards women or bars or something. Like, if you're at a bar, it would, you're the Chick Magnet. Somehow it would bring women to you, but in reality it would just show where all the zoos are in your neighborhood or like pet stores. I don't know. I don't know if anyone would find that,
like,
funny.
The closest place to buy eggs, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And have little, like, little chicken icons. I don't know. Okay, what's next?
Okay, my main course here, Brandon.
Is this already the last thing we're going to talk about?
Unless you guys have anything else, it's basically my last thing. I mean, we've still Rudy and Matt. We can get them out of the way too.
Oh yeah, that's true. Do you want to talk about them now?
Okay,
go ahead.
Nothing or after? I don't have much to say other than for some reason I find Rudy endearing.
Me too.
There's like just something very likable about her, right? That, like, she'll do stuff and I'm like, girl, you shouldn't. But then I'm like, oh, I'd be friends with Rudy. She seems very fun.
Yeah. And I think I relate to her. Like, I don't act on it anymore, but I definitely relate to her whims. Emotional whims.
Yes. I did think when Rudy and Ruby were singing together at the piano that I was like, I wish these two could pair up. They sound nice together.
I don't remember.
They share the pink hair, so maybe there's something there.
What? Oh, you mean Mel?
Yeah, no, we were talking about Ruby has the pink hair, and then Rudy has just brown hair.
Oh. But didn't she get cut? Or was that Mel?
No, Mel got cut.
Oh. So I apparently have forgotten who Rudy is. Oh, Rudy! Rudy's the one that freaked out on
Matt.
On Matt last week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So, she was wearing glasses this whole episode.
Yeah.
No. Well, she was only wearing maybe in one scene or something. Most of the time she was without glasses, I think.
No, I guess that's true. But I saw the glasses and I'm like, those are totally trendy.
You know, live tweeting, it jumbles a lot of stuff. When it's tough to live tweet and really pay attention. So her wearing glasses in one scene becomes her wearing glasses the entire show. Yeah.
I like how she's totally in the moment and does not think ahead. She's very blinders on. For Matt, which, you know, I mean, if you were Matt, would you give Rudy a second chance after she yelled at you last week and almost slapped him? Did she almost slap him?
Oh, she slapped him this week.
Right.
Yeah, like accidentally or whatever. A love slap.
I think it was supposed to be a joke, but she actually made contact.
Uh-huh. I mean, I would get the rose first. Well, wait, the men had the rose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I would stay clear of that.
But she is, they like each other. I don't know.
I do think he likes her, right? In that, like, I think it's also, there's nobody else who he has a remote, you know what I mean? Like, there's nobody else he's connecting with in any way. So I feel like, but they do seem to be vibing.
This is where the show, like, has an interesting angle, which is you have to be good at loving and singing. I mean, you have to think of both. So even if you're only 50% into somebody, if you got to consider the other 50%, which is you need a singing partner. So there you go. That's why.
And from that aspect, I think Rudy would be a great partner because she has a nice voice.
Yeah, exactly.
And like we said last week, he just wants to advance. He doesn't care who he partners up with. He doesn't have to
romance. Which I don't find fault with because, again, the show is 50%. Advancing to sing, so you got to find somebody to sing with.
Well, I think the only part that's kind of deceiving is that she seems really into him, and he's kind of not making any commitment. So
yeah, but you can't really fault him for her really liking him.
Well, you could say, let's see where this goes.
Yeah, let's take it slow.
Yeah. Okay, Brandon.
Okay, now, just for our listeners, a.k.a. me, describe Brandon so I don't think of the wrong person.
The blandest, most bland dude you could ever walk by, but somehow everyone thinks
he's blonde. Is he the blonde guy?
He's sandy blonde.
Yeah.
He looks like Gary, blonde, a young Gary. He looks like a young Gary Busey.
You think everyone looks like Gary Busey, but yeah, he does actually. His mouth.
Everyone looks like Gary Busey.
Yeah. You've talked about Gary Busey more than twice. He has the mouth, like the smile lines like Gary Busey and the teeth.
Right.
And then he, like everyone talks about his eyes, his blue eyes. So maybe that's a thing. Okay.
Now, and who did he end up
People going
picking?
Wild for the eyes.
Yeah. He ended up picking Savannah, who is also, she thinks she's a hot commodity, or she thinks she was. Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel like Brandon is having what I call the camp counselor effect on all these women. Have you guys ever been to camp? Either of you?
I've been to figure skating training camp.
Oh, cool. Well, I've been to a girls' camp, all girls' camp, for a week, you know, and invariably the second day, everyone gets a crush on the only guys on the whole camp. Like, it doesn't matter what they do for a living or what they work. Sometimes it's the servers. Because there's just slim pickings, right? You see two men, you're 16, and everyone has a crush on one of the only two men you see. So I feel like all these women are getting a crush on, like, whoever's left and remotely. And then, you know, they're having a crush on someone who, whatever, is the guy that's acts available. But then at the same time, on his end, he's super flirty and open, seemingly uncommitted, and he flirts very, very astutely. Like, he flirts on their level. So if they're very flirty, he'll bump it up a notch. If they're not, he knows exactly how to get in that, like, you know, how to, like, get in their minds.
Uh-huh.
I think that's kind of scary. He could use his powers for evil. Has he yet? I don't know. But the Mel stuff, you know, I have a super cut of Brandon flirting with different women, but it wasn't even worth it to go into Mel, because as someone like me who's a non-flirter, I totally saw how he gave her hope. But if you're just watching it, you don't see that. Like, Craig, did you see why Mel was so attracted to Brandon, or why it felt a little slimy of him to lead her on?
I guess I didn't really pay much attention to the whole Brandon arc. I used that time to tweet.
Okay. Well, I thought it was very subtle, very subtle. Okay. Caitlin, did you see the Mel, you know, how he roped her in a little bit? I mean, maybe he's just a nice guy, but that's just like, you don't lead a girl like that on. She is going to, she's not ready for this world.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think I had the same feeling in terms of Brandon and Mel as I almost do with Brandon and Julia, in that both Mel and Julia were like, I'm in love with this man. He is suddenly the only man who exists. And I was like, huh? You guys have like, what is going on? Because I don't feel like he did that much to make either of them feel that way, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he did more with Julia, but even then, like, they have that whole conversation. It was like right before the rose ceremony, and they're showing her like to camera thing. That's like, I don't even know who Brandon would pick if not me. We have the best connection. And I was like, he literally just told you like 1 second ago that he's probably going to pick Savannah because he likes her too.
He doesn't quite say that. That's true. Where he's like,
he did
sneaky.
Say he likes Savannah and he cares about her, etc. He did not explicitly say he would pick her, but I do feel like to come out of that conversation and be like, there's literally no one else Brandon would match with is wild, because it's like, he literally did just tell you there's somebody else that he is interested in, even if he didn't say which one of you he's necessarily more interested in, or you know what I mean? Like, it's not like he directly was like, you're the person I'm interested in. Yeah. With Mel, it was even more subtle, because I feel like they would have conversations where I'm kind of like, he is not giving her a lot, but she is reading a lot into what he's giving.
Right, but I think he's doing that purposefully, because he's trying to like lead her. Someone like that can only be led on, you know, with crumbs,
mm-hmm.
or else you'll scare her, or you'll overwhelm her. I mean, you'll overwhelm her, or conversely, you'll also like entice her, because she's not used to being. It seems like she's not used to being the one people are interested in. Strangely, like she seems like a nice lady, but it's like she doesn't give any flirty vibes. But then all the women that walked in too, I mean, it wasn't just Julia, Mel, and Savannah. It was Mariana and Ruby, the two new women, super interested in him.
So then, well, why don't you play the supercut?
Well, I'll play the supercut because I want to show you guys how he leaves things open, flirts, and kind of, creates this like, it could be you.
I honestly, dude, I want to kick it with all the girls. Honestly, I really, 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 really appreciate the rose. Super grateful.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm committing to anything.
First few days, I was like, whatever. I want to meet everybody.
Yeah.
And now I just noticed myself just wanting to spend more and more time with you. I kind of like wrote you off. And like in a weird way, it was like, I guess easier, because then I didn't have to think about how much I was caring about you. Now it's like back on the table, and it's like, I don't know what the I'm supposed to do.
I'm glad you're still here.
So,
and just FYI, I gotta get going here pretty soon. So, let's come up with our closing arguments here.
Okay, I have just one more thing to say about the Savannah Brandon thing. Okay, so Savannah and Brandon are super interesting in a way, because they are. Savannah walked in. If you guys remember last week, Savannah walked in and was like, I'm a hot babe, and no, you know, I'm not going to go just for the pretty face. I want to have, you know, the guy, and I can just date anyone I ever want. So it doesn't even matter. So for her, I totally felt like she wants to win at this point. She was not interested in Brandon until everyone else was interested in him. And and then, you know, she's going against what she said because she's just so used to winning. And then for him, I think he's kind of, I mean, like, he doesn't seem super into Savannah, does he?
Not particularly. I did get, when they were on that date in, like, the jazz club, I was like, you know, actually seeing them sing together, I was like, oh, I could see this in terms of, like, they did seem like they were vibing a little bit. But I don't get the sense of him with any of these women that he's, right, like, really, really into it.
Right. So there, yeah, there was definitely a, like, he didn't, like, she's picking him because he's so,
Is that your daughter in the background?
She's on like a megaphone.
Oh my god.
We have. I'm like, why were you letting her do that? Anyway, it was really weird that Savannah all of a sudden is more interested in him. And I feel like with her, it's all about winning. She just wants to win the guy that everyone wants. It didn't feel like she was particularly interested either. So I thought that was a very interesting new psychological, because she kind of walked in saying, no one's gonna beat me, I'm the hottest here. Mm-hmm. If you guys remember that, it really stood out to me.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know, I find the whole like Brandon love hexagon or whatever is going on there to be surprising in that, yeah, the camp counselor vibe thing. I was like, that guy, you're all suddenly in love with this guy, you know? Mm-hmm. He just seems like a very regular looking person to me, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that both like Mel and Julia said very similar things about being like, this is the man for me, this is like essentially my soulmate, basically. And I was like, how do you, first of all of you have known each other for like 2 days.
Yeah.
But also like this guy who's like, what is he giving that they, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Like,
he's that, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He gives them exactly, he's so good at it. And, you know, maybe he's just genuinely a good guy. I don't know. But he wears a ring, like a class turquoise ring. That always throws me off with men.
So like, he is definitely like some sort of magician, practitioner of the arts.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what happens with him and Julia next week, because it looks like, and the thing he does at the end of that supercut of the flirt is very interesting. You know, he kind of goes, hey, you're still around. Like, you're still around. Yeah. Therefore, let's work this out.
Well, let's end here on the camp counselor effect, and he might be a sorcerer. That's things to look out for. Yeah, I think we did justice to a whole bunch of different topics today. And the show is shifting gears, so I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to like the what they're going towards here. Yeah. I'm not huge into the singing shows, but I know a lot of people are. So
the moment no one's been waiting for.
That's well, what like. I don't know. It's interesting that American Idol is going to do it with their finals from Zoom. They're going to do it all over the internet. That's kind of interesting TV.
I am actually looking forward to this in the sense that I do want to know which one of these people is actually talented.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't hear any mind-blowing singing so far. So
yeah, but we didn't hear any bad singing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, we heard some like not great singing, I would say. I don't think that Trevor's voice on the Jamie date, I was like, whoa, no thanks.
He might be more of a Jed than we realize. the producers need to really, if producers of every show including American Idol need to, like, I mean, this is an opportunity to do some crazy stuff, and instead they're just going YouTube style on us. I'm like, that's cheap.
Yeah. All right,
says me.
All right. Well, follow us on social at Bachelor Masters. Leave us a review. We got a few likes on our Facebook page.
I wrote down some fashion stuff, but it's all just basically boils down to, I think Julia dresses badly.
Aw, yeah, she dresses her perceived age.
That's funny.
I mean that in, like, doesn't she look super 80s to you?
Yeah, kind
of. Yeah, her style is just very odd.
I'm sure she's very beautiful and she's very youthful, but she looks like she stepped out of, like, a Richard Gere movie to me. Like,
okay. Follow us on social, reach out, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.